It is good to be here with each of you this morning. I will also be sharing from the Psalms. So as I was preparing for this morning to share and looking for a topic, one verse came to my mind, Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. This morning, we will be looking at Psalms 119, verses 1 through 16. We'll start by reading that section. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So Psalm 119 is an interesting psalm. It is made up of 22 stanzas, and each stanza contains 8 verses. The stanzas are named according to the Hebrew alphabet and organized alphabetically. I just read the first 2 stanzas, Aleph and Bet. Most of the psalm is prayer, where dedication to God's word and the need for God's intervention is expressed. The first 3 verses are an introduction to the rest of the psalm, calling those blessed who walk in the way of the Lord, those who seek him wholly, those who do no wrong. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. The rest of the psalm calls us to be like these people, to have a deep desire to understand God and his ways through knowing his law. Verses 4, 5, and 6 say, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were direct. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. When we keep God's law, we do not need to fear being ashamed. Obeying God's law will keep us from being ashamed by the most honorable being, God. Keeping God's law also comes with blessings. Luke 11, verses 27 and 28 say, as he, Jesus, said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. James 1, verses 22 through 25 say, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. While we do live in the new covenant, and we know God's plan for grace, mercy, and forgiveness more fully than the saints of the old covenant knew it, God still calls us to faithfulness in following his law. Obedience is commanded. Those who obey are given a blessing. In verse 7, Verse 7 of Psalm 119 says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. This is a challenge to me. Am I hungry enough for God's rules that I rejoice and praise God when I see something in his word that caused me to make a change in my life? Throughout Psalm 119, we see that God's word is wonderful, right, eternal, pure, truth. It brings light and understanding. We need to remember that God's word is truth. We need to praise God for it, even in the hard sayings that go against the flesh. Jesus said to turn the other cheek. Praise God. That's the right and best way to live. Going to verse 8, we see the cry for God to not forsake the author. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. While we know that God will not forsake the children that he loves, we don't always feel his closeness. When you don't feel close to God, use that as an opportunity to increase your plea to God for closeness and to remind him that you are striving to obey his law. Now we'll go to the next stanza. Beth, on a personal note, I remember my mother working with his children to memorize these first two stanzas while we were on one of our longer trips. I think it was our trip out west as a family. Memorizing these verses, working to do that was probably not the easiest for my mom to do, but I'm glad that she took the energy to do that. In verses 9 and 10, we see that the way to stay pure, specifically pure before God, is to live in the way God's word calls us to. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. When we are judged at the end of the age, we want to be found part of God's spotless bride. When you find something in God's word that doesn't line up with how you think, don't ignore it. Don't change God's word. Search for what the word means, and then change yourself to match. Seek God fully, ask for him to give you understanding, and to not allow you to wander from his commandments. Verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Memorizing God's word and being very familiar with it is essential for us to know what is right and wrong. Without carrying the word in our heart and mind, we will not have our defenses properly ready when spiritually attacked. The 13th stanza of Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104 says, Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than mine enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Having this level of knowledge of God's word will not be obtained without memorizing. We cannot meditate continually on what we do not know. I confess that I have not done much with Bible memorization since it was organized for me at in school and at SMBI, but it is something that I would like to resume and that I think would be fitting to be commonplace with adults as we expect it to be with children. Moving on to verses 12 and 13. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. As we meditate on God's word, our understanding is not sufficient to bring us to full understanding of Scripture. We need to ask God through the Holy Spirit to instruct us in understanding his word. Jesus said in John 14, verses 16 and 17, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will teach us truth and bring the truth and scriptures that we know to our thoughts as we ask and allow him to work in our lives. The last three verses of Beth are, in the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. In these verses are expressed a delight and love for God's law and words. This love of God's ways does not develop in one who loves the ways of the world. 1 John 2, 15 and 16 say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2, 4 through 6 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. In order for us to love God, we need to love his word. Since we cannot love the Father and the world, we need to stop loving the world in order to love his word. Throughout these 16 verses, I see a few primary points. Follow God's law, love God's word, store God's word inside you, and contemplate his ways. We know what follow and obey mean. They are both simple to understand, although harder to do. While obeying God when it doesn't feel good is very important, I would suggest that as our love for God and his law increases, so will the ease of doing things that go against the flesh. How to love God's word is something that I don't find so clear. How can we develop a love for it? What does loving God's word look like? One step in developing a love for God's word is recognizing who God is and knowing that he chooses to speak to us through his word, the scriptures. God is our creator. It is through him and for him that we live. Knowing that the Bible is the message from our Creator to us about how to live eternally should be enough to make us study it seriously. In John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, Peter properly acknowledged the importance of God's word as it came through Jesus. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. God has shown us his plan for eternal life through his word. Without his word, we are doomed. With his words, we are shown the way to life. In verse 36 of Psalm 119, the author asks God to incline his heart towards God's testimonies. In verse 112, he declares that his heart is inclined to perform God's statutes. In verse 18, he says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. In order to be in a place of loving God's word, we need to be seeking to love the word and be asking God to develop that love within us. Three more things that one can do to increase a love for God's word are read, memorize, and meditate on the Bible. Read. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. 1 Thessalonians 5:27 says, I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. I didn't find many commands to read the scripture, other than out loud to others. I wonder if this is because copies of the scripture were not readily available when the scriptures were written, and frequent reading may not have been available to all. We are blessed to live in a time when personal copies of the scripture are readily available. For much of history, obtaining personal copies of scripture was not a very viable option. We ought to take advantage of the time that God has placed us in. One interesting law that I found in Deuteronomy 17 for the future kings of Israel was that they were to take a book of the law and make a copy for themselves. They were to then study the copy they made all the days of their life. Starting in Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. And when he, the newly appointed king, sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. While I didn't find many commands to read to oneself, there are commands to contemplate, memorize, and copy the scriptures. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9 say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. We are to keep the scriptures continually before us, in our hearts, in our words, in the way we teach our children, both at night and during the day. While that section I just read had several specific commands about what to do with the scriptures, I think the point is captured well in verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. If I understand it correctly, a frontlet is an ornament worn on the forehead. If I was to wear an ornament on my forehead with it bobbing between my eyes as I worked, I'm pretty sure I would think about it frequently. If I always wore it, I would still think about it frequently, but it would just be normal life. Is God's word on your mind throughout the day? Do you keep reminders of it with you? Verse 9 says to write the commandments on our gates and doorposts, places that we frequently go past. Maybe for us, this would be putting scripture along our driveways, like Dean did, or keeping a verse on the dash of our car. Going to the first part of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. The godly are to keep God's word continually in their thoughts. It is to be their delight. Meditating and delighting in God's word will give us spiritual strength and life. I read Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104 earlier, but I will read it again. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words by taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Knowing and meditating on God's word brings great wisdom and understanding that one would not have otherwise. God is the creator of all that we know. In order to be truly wise and knowledgeable, one must know God and the scriptures. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Here are some practical ideas for how to keep God's word in your thoughts. Listen to his word as you drive or do mundane tasks. All of us have tasks to do that require the presence of our body and mind, but not the full attention of our mind. If one would listen to the Bible each day for about 13 minutes, they could listen to the whole Bible in about 1 year. With listening only to the New Testament, 13 minutes a day will take one through the New Testament about 3 times a year. I mentioned earlier that I didn't find many commands to read Scripture quietly. Hearing, though, is mentioned numerous times. In Matthew 7, Jesus gave the parable of the wise and foolish men, with the wise man being the one who heard and kept Jesus' words. After the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." In Romans 10, 14 through 17, we read, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." And the book of Revelation starts. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." And it seemed to me as though Scripture, when it was written with the expectation that it would be read aloud and listened to more often than it would be read quietly to oneself. Secondly, I would suggest integrating memorization and meditation of the word into your life. Thirdly, develop talking about the word with your family and friends. It is often easier for us to discuss the world, politics, money, and work than to discuss what we are seeing in God's word or to ask a question about something we don't understand in Scripture. While we are stuck in this world, worldly conversations will be needful, but what do your conversations show about your loves? In closing, I will read the first 16 verses of Psalm 119 again. As you hear the word, I would encourage you to consider how your love for God's word compares to what is described in this passage. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.